I told her, I said, don't blow your voice out of me. You know? So, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Junior church going over, and I'm going to read the whole chapter to you, which is not real long, but I'll try to read fast. You listen fast. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed to Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and it went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Title of the message this morning is, Get Your Feet Wet. Get Your Feet Wet. So here we got the Jews about ready to cross over Jordan River into the promised land, land of Canaan. God had promised them this land years before. It's a true actual event. I mean, this happened. This is, you know, recorded not only history, but recorded in the Bible, but it happened. But there's a deeper picture here, which with a lot of people, it's just as much about your life and the life of the church as it is about Israel crossing over into the promised land. It's about that victory of faith that we should all have. We should all have this victory of faith. And so, you know, in the Christian life, there's two things that are happening. You're either an overcomer or you're overcome. You're either a victor or a victim. And so even though that we're saved, and you may be here and you're saved, and I pray you are. If you're not, you'll get saved. But we're saved. We still have to live in the area of faith in this life. It's not just salvation and that's it. We're saved and everything else goes on the shelf. No, we're saved and now God's going to do something with us. And I like, he commented twice so that they would know, you know, that they were told. He said, this day will I magnify thee unto the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And then right over at, you know, at the end, he said it one other time, that the Lord would, people was going to know that the Lord was with this people, and they would know that the Lord was with them, their own self. And so, when the Jews were led out of Egypt, that was a picture of salvation. They were in bondage to Egypt. It's a picture of bondage to sin. This happened 40 years before, by the way. They were led out of Egypt, out of the bondage of sin. And now we're getting ready. They're crossing over the Jordan. This is a picture, the entrance into Canaan, a place of faith or step of faith. And it's getting to the place in this life that God wants us all to be at. You know, there's a place that God wants us to live in this life, on this earth. Still got battles to face. They did. They still had Jericho, was right on the other side of the river. They were going to have to go up against a walled city as soon as they got over there. And there were other victories, but God was promised them the victories. But it's also the place that God can bless us. See, we can be saved but not be in a place that it's hard for God to bless us, and even maybe a place where God won't. He won't bless us, and we can get to the place that God can use us. You know, if we can't walk by faith, then God can't use us very well. And so there's three things I want to talk to you about this morning. There's the barriers to faith. The vessels to faith, and actually a barrier to faith. There's really only one barrier to faith, and the vessel of faith and the victory of faith. So the very first point I want to talk to you about, the barrier to faith, what keeps us from having faith. 40 years before, Moses led the Jewish people out of Egypt. I think I read this one time. I think it was only probably a 2 or 3 week journey to get to the promised land, to get to Canaan where God was leading them to fulfill this promise. And, of course, they got right up to the edge of the promised land, and God already promised it to them. But, you know, even in God's promises, there's planning and stuff. And so one of the things they decided to do, they were going to send a man from each tribe, 12 guys over, go scout things out. What's going to be the best route? What's going to be the best way to go? This is just common sense, right? They're going to go over there and look and see. And then they come back and tell us what you see. And they came back. We know the story. They all had a good report. Said, yeah, it is a land flows with milk and honey. But, some of them said, but, this, man, the people are like grasshoppers. In other words, it was millions of people. And they were like giants. They were big people. Millions of big people over there. And they and some of them, all except Joshua and Caleb, said, man, we can't do it. We can't do it. Well, they couldn't have done it anyway because they weren't not a fighting. They weren't a warring people. They were not military people. God was going to have to do it anyway, and that's true. But they didn't trust God. Joshua and Caleb said, hey, man, we are well able to do it because they knew they had God with them, right? Well, you know, they wandered around in the wilderness 40 years till all of them that was of age, not the real young ones, but the ones that was of age and make a decision, they died, except for Joshua and Caleb. They were still alive. So here they are 40 years later. They could have been 40 years living in the land of blessing, but they weren't. 40 years later, they're back at the edge of the Jordan River, same river, same place. And the same people are living on the other side of the river. A lot of them, probably more of them now than there was 40 years ago. And there's still, if there's giant big ones, there are big ones over there. And verse 15 tells us, not only that the river's at flood stage. It said the river overflowed its banks at that time of the year. I've been overseas in that part of the country over there. We're kind of like it now, but usually they have a dry season and a rainy season. And the rainy season is in the time of harvest near the end. So it was at flood stage, and it stayed that way. And, of course, you couldn't walk across it. I mean, it's too deep over yet, and the water would be moving pretty fast, wash you downstream. Y'all understand all that. But God told him, they said, listen, what's going to happen is we're going to walk down to the river. I'm going to give it to you straight up, plain language. We're going to walk down to the river, and what's going to happen that the souls of the priests, they're bearing the ark, and they had to carry it about, it's 2,000 meters, or not meters, but whatever he told them, cubits, I guess. But it's about 3,000 feet, so we can understand. 3,000 feet ahead, they'd walk. When the priest's feet get in the water was going to heap up on the uphill side, and that water is going to flow away on that side, and they're going to go across on dry ground. Huh? Man, I mean, you know, that's what he told them. And so you got to remember now, too, there were some young people that were still alive, but of the adults, the only people that were left alive that saw the Red Sea parted was Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else was dead. These guys remembered it. The younger people would remember that. So this was something kind of new for them. And now they've got to decide if they're going to believe God or not. I mean, you know, go ahead, stick your feet in. Water going to pile up on this side and water going to go down that side. We got to decide if we're going to believe that. You know, trust God. Maybe they did learn something in 40 years wandering around the wilderness. I don't know. So last week I asked this question. I said, like, what are you doing for God that requires great faith? I'm great faith. You know, like I say, there's a lot of things we do. I mean, y'all sit down in the chair, you exercise faith, you believe the chair would hold you. Simple. I mean, we don't even think about it, really, not a conscious thing, right? So we do that. You know, if you drive on 81, you're exercising, that'd probably be greater faith that you're going to get back. But they're saying, well, what are we doing? I asked the question, what do you do that requires great faith? You go over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 is the heroes of faith chapter. Man, these people did great things. David slew Goliath with a slingshot, man. The three Hebrew children walked in a fiery furnace. Daniel went down and slept in a den of lions, not a lion's den, but a den of lions, had lions in it. Huh? He slept. These were great faith things, big faith. And so I want to look at the story along in that area right there. Now think about this. What you don't picture the people getting down there. It's over 1 million people. The Jews were over 1 million. Now that's, you know how long it would take, even if it was a swath, you know, from here to John Deere wide, for 1 million people to walk across. This isn't going to happen in a few minutes. All day, maybe, or maybe longer than that. I don't know. But it was over 1 million people. So getting a boat is not an option. I mean, a cruise ship couldn't hold this many people in one shot. A rowboat back and forth, man, they'd still be there trying to get everybody over the river, right? So it's not going to go man's way. It's not going to be a way. That's not an option. And so, you know, when you look at like this, the areas of faith, it took some faith. It took some faith to follow the leading of God. That ark was out there 3,000 feet so that they could see. It said they'd never gone this way before. Guess what? There's areas in your faith, walk of faith, that you're going to go, that God wants you to go, that you've never gone that way before. Well, how are you going to get there? Follow God. That's how you're going to get there. That's why you had to follow God. They had to follow God. They wanted the ark out there where they could see it. Everybody in the million-person crowd, no matter how wide, they could look up there and they say, well, God's leading the way. And so you've never gone this way before, because before salvation, you weren't at the place where you could. Now you are. You've never gone this way before. Now it's going to take some faith. You know how funny we are about stuff we've never done before, right? Places you've never, man, I don't know. Huh? I gotta go. You ever had your back operated on before, Dave? Huh? Have you? Well, see, the first time, so you have gone that way before, but the first time, right? The first time you have to do anything, I don't know. What's it going to be like? I don't know. I had to go in there, had to drill a hole in my jaw. The guy explained it sounded like a medieval torture chamber. What we're going to do is we're going to cut your gum right there, and then we're going to drill down in there with a drill. You know about it. And then we're going to screw a post in there with a little torque wrench, clank it up in there, and then, man, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, man. I was like, so I thought I'm going to pass out. Never went that way before. If you ever have to do it, I'm going to tell you something. It was gravy as all get out. Man, I didn't feel a thing. Dr. Sardin, you feel that? It was gravy. Now, I don't want to go do it, you know, every day. I don't want to have to go down there and get that done. Where it hurts you is back here in this wallet back here more than I had no, but you don't know. You don't know. I was out there having a panic attack because I had huh? You know, and I mean, we don't know. We've never gone that way before. But it takes some faith. And, you know, when they followed the first time, when the Israelites followed Moses out of Egypt, it took some faith. They had to go out. Now, they wasn't out there in no time. They started complaining. They was whining and complaining about the food, and they was whining and complaining about the leadership, Moses. They complained about that, but it still took some faith. And then they didn't know what they were going to do, and God provided water, and God provided manna. Man, they didn't know, and God answered everything. But when they got to Canaan, they still wouldn't go in, right? So they had a little bit of faith, but they didn't have great faith. God got them all the way there. They even accused God. He brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us. Why would he do that? They're his people. He's going to glorify himself through them people. Why would he do it to you? God wants to glorify himself through us, and we can't do it without him. That's faith. That's great faith. Just trust God. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to succeed because it glorifies him. Can you understand that? He's not leaving you out there dangling and just like drop you off into the fire, right? So this is what it is. So God set the whole thing up. Like I said, set the ark. This is it. He's leading the way. Way they hadn't gone before. The priest, though, had to step in the water at flood stage before it parted. Now think about it. God could have said, all right, look, right before y'all get there, I'm going to just part the water and y'all go on over. They could have done that, right? What would have took more faith? Stepping first, or are you going to walk by sight, not faith? See, if there's already a hole, we're walking by sight. But he said, "This is God could have done it the other way. God could have done it, but he didn't. He said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to step into the faith. What took more faith, walking up to the river or stepping in at flood stage? See? It took some faith to follow God to that point. They had followed God to that point before. The other ones that were alive, 40 years before, they followed him to the river. And so many people, boy, they get right there, Christians. Huh? That's what happens. Because now they can't see it. They can't see it. Now, if God had opened up, the water was stacked up, it's still going to take a little faith to go through, because you see the water piled up. I don't know how high it was. I think with the Red Sea, it was pretty high. High enough to drown the whole Egyptian army. But it was high. But it would have still been a little bit easier you probably would have got through in a hurry. I say, clear out. I'm going across. All right, it's my turn. Woo, man, around through there instead of just lollygagging in the middle of that, huh? No. It would have still took some faith, but it took took faith was to step into the water. And listen, when did they see God work? When they stepped in the water. If he didn't step in, what would have happened? The water would have kept at flood stage. They'd been saying, man, that's a lot of water. There's the land over there on the other side. What are we going to do? What do you usually do if you don't go, if you get up to a situation like that and you don't go forward, what do you usually do? Go backwards. Turn around, go back. Back. That's what they wanted. That's what they did. They turned around, went back the first time. This is when we're going to see God work. See, Leonard here mows the grass. I don't know that he sees God working mowing the grass. You ain't seen him out there weed eating, did you? Huh? Huh? No, I mean, it's appreciated.
He gave me the strength to do it.
It's appreciated. But it don't take a big bunch of faith, great big faith, to mow the grass, stepping in the water. You know, see what I'm saying? That's all appreciated, though. We need to have grass mowed. And we do all kind of things like that. But it's stepping out where you can't see, there's this barrier. Like, I just can't see, how is God going to do this? Now, he didn't, they didn't know for sure what God was going to do. I mean, he said he would part the water and all, but I mean, I think they're probably sitting around scratching their head thinking, how's this going to work out? Well, if it gets so high, it'll come up. No, I don't know. I don't know what they would thought. And so if we, in other words, what I'm getting at, though, we really don't see God work in the mundane, everyday things that we do, even for God. But boy, when it's a great thing, we see God worked in, step out on faith, right? This is when then the water part, then the water stops. So we had to step first. We got to get our feet wet. And when, you know, you step out when we can't see the how and the what and the where and the when, this is what makes great faith. Now here's the thing I want you to see. With God, there is no barrier. There's no obstacle too big. There's no circumstance too great. There's nothing. God doesn't see a barrier. No obstacle. The biggest barrier, folks, here's the barrier. There's only one barrier to faith, and it's in your head. It's in your head. That's it. You got to believe in a million people. Boy, there was some doubters about this deal here. Well, they weren't the priests, and they weren't carrying the ark. But the priests, you know, they had to, and everybody else had to follow through. The only barrier, and you see here in Christianity, it's sort of, I can't. Well, this is true. God can, right? And you have to see God, I'm probably got this all in my notes. I'll just use them to keep myself from forgetting. One of the biggest problems in Christianity today is no spiritual growth. People are stuck. Man, they're stagnant. They're at a place, they've gotten to that place, and they have been at that place for 40 years, just like the Jews. They have been at that spot spiritually for 40 years. They're never going to step past the boundary of the wilderness over into the promised land. They're never going to step at the water's edge. They're never going to step into a circumstance or a situation where they can't see how everything is going to fall into place in some reasonable fashion. This is how it's going to do, and they can't understand how. They never do, and you'll never have a breakthrough in your spiritual life until you step into the water. Go ahead and do something. Step somewhere where you ain't got a clue and you can't see how God is going to do it with you. That's what's going to happen. And you'll never grow, you know, if you don't do that. If that then priest had never stepped, it would have never parted. And spiritual growth is, like I say, it's a missing thing. Let me say this about this. Real faith always takes you out of your comfort zone. If it doesn't take you past where you're comfortable, then it's not really faith. Because the only thing we're comfortable in is the things we know. The things we know is what's going to happen. And we've you know, experienced it somehow before. Like I said, unbelief always says go back, and faith says go forward. And that's what happened and what needs to happen. So we see the barrier of faith. There's only one barrier to faith, and it's your mind. It's in your mind, not in God's mind. Because God saved us, and God called us to serve Him and to witness for Him, and we can't do it in our strength anyway. He called us to do the impossible. With God, all things are possible. If it's in His will, all things are possible, right? So the second thing, we see the vessel of faith, the vessel of faith. The majority, like I said, 40 years before, led by the same God, had the same promise of God, but they said, we're not able to do it. God would have took them across. They'd have been there. They'd have been over in the land of blessing 40 years, had their own places, their own vineyards. They'd have been enjoying the land, the fruit of the land. And this is what we hear from Christians today. When it comes to spiritual things, like praying, teaching, witnessing for God, this is what everybody says. I can't do it. You can do it. I can't do it. Somebody else can do it. That's what everybody says. I can't do it, but you know, they always think that somebody else can't do it. And in your mind, when you say that, you have made a barrier bigger than God in your mind. And you're never too afraid to step out of that comfort zone. You've made your perceived inability bigger than God. Listen, God made us all different, sure, but He hadn't changed. He's the same God.
Amen.
Who do you think? Let me ask this question. Think about this in your mind. Who do you think God uses for these big things? Who do you think God uses for preachers? I mean, what was I like, man? I had a PhD, and man, I had, you know, had gone to school to learn how to speak, and boy, you know, learn Greek and Hebrew and all that. I can't even speak English hardly, man. I mean, I don't even know what's going on. Huh? Oh, you're qualified, Daniel Boone. Yeah, boy, let me look at them credentials. Oh, yeah, man, you got, yeah, we can take you. These other people, we can't use them because they don't have a resume. Only resume you need is the Holy Ghost of God dwelling in you, right? Who do you think God uses? God called Moses from the burning bush, fire in the burning bush. He's out there watching sheep. And God told him, He said, listen, I want you to lead. This is the first group of Israelites. I want you to lead the people out of Egypt and place on the show. And Moses said this. He said, who am I? Who am I that I should lead the people? Isn't that what you say? Isn't that what everybody says? Isn't that what Christians say? Who am I that I should, you know, go up and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He didn't think he was anything. But God said, certainly I will be with thee. I'll be with you. We already got that promise, fellas. You can't, well, God didn't tell me that. Oh, yes, He did. It's all over the Bible. If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You got God dwelling in you. And God's not going to be with you. And then Moses gave God a list of excuses. He said, first of all, he said, well, they won't believe me. You know what God said? Don't worry about it. Basically, He did say it. And they'll say, you haven't spoken to me. And then He said, I'm not eloquent in my speech. My speech is slow. In other words, He said, I'm not a real good speaker. This was Moses now. If we look back now, we say, well, Moses is one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had. He said, I'm not a good speaker. You know what Moses, he went on and he gave him another verse. And the verse there in Genesis or Exodus, it says, what he's really saying is, use somebody else. Get somebody else to do it. God got mad at him for that. He said, send somebody else. That's the Christian mantra today. So you're sitting here thinking, oh, and I know there's some of you in here thinking this way, because I could say this anywhere. If I had 10 people, I could say it. You think, well, I'm not wise enough or smart enough. You might not say smart enough. I don't know what to say. Well, let me tell you something. You're qualified. You're the one. If you don't think you're strong enough, if you don't think you're smart enough, if you don't think you can speak good enough, you are the one that God wants to use.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll give you a verse. I'm going to give you a New Testament verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why did God do that? Because if they was already wise, nobody'd see God in it. That's why. He said, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world, David, and the world to confound the things which are mighty, Goliath. Huh? God uses the weak things of the world, right? Why? Because if He's already using the mighty things, God's not seen in it. Who does God want to use? The people that ain't got nothing and don't know nothing and can't say nothing. That's the people God wants to use. Exactly. You qualify for this. He said, in the base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught, not things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in His presence. That's exactly why. Huh? You're not smart enough? God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. You're not strong enough? God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Listen, Peter, James, John, Andrew were fishermen. Thomas was a carpenter. Matthew, a tax collector. Simon was a political revolutionary. Philip, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, and James, we don't even know what they were. We don't know what they did. Probably farmers, tradesmen of some kind as well. That's who God uses. The vessels of faith. That's what God wants to use. He wants, even if we were something, It's not that God can't use somebody with other abilities. But what does he want from us? He wants us to empty ourselves anyhow. He wants us to empty ourselves of self and fill ourselves, be filled with him. Amen. And see, if you already don't have nothing, you ain't got much to empty out in to start with. You're already ahead of the game. You're already ahead of the game. God got you where he wants you. That's who God uses. Only barricades in here. And the only hindrance keeping God from using you is you won't step in the water. Outside that comfort zone. Everybody's got their little comfort zone. That's why y'all sit in the same exact seat every Sunday. Although the Morans, y'all have been moving around a lot, so you know, I guess. That's okay. Can't figure out which side looks good. Neither, right? But most people, they get in their same seat no matter what, man. Satan could be sitting in the seat beside them. They still sit there, man. They would, you know. Listen, it's not that you can't. It's you won't. Just tell the truth. Don't tell me can't when won't is the appropriate word. Then we see the third thing, the victory by faith. The victory by faith. The steps of faith, man. Listen, the priests bearing the ark that represented God, they stepped in the water. And they saw the miracle. Not before. Like I said, God could have done it first. But then you walk by sight, not by faith. And they walked on dry ground, it says. This is what this speaks to me. That there was no remnants. There was no remnants of the barricade that was in their mind under their feet. It wasn't muddy water. It wasn't damp ground. It said it was on dry ground. It said, see there? It's just like the water had never been there to start with. There's really no barricade to start with other than in their mind. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not defeated by knowledge itself, but by active faith and obedience. James, or 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In verse 7 of our text, and I read it to you already, it said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Man, listen, magnified. Those that exercise that kind of faith, and they'll know, they would know. I think it's worth a two-edged sword. I think that they, the Israelites or Jews, they knew that God was with them then because of faith, and all the rest of the world, because they went right over. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. What was the first city right over there? Jericho. And old Rahab the harlot had already heard for years how God was with this people. Why? Because of the deeds that they had accomplished through God, or, you know, God accomplished them actually through them, you know, working through them. Hebrews 11, like I say, the heroes of faith chapter, all those people did something. If you read chapter 11, all those people did something above and beyond the everyday things of life. And they're listed in that. But they weren't, listen, these people weren't special cases set on a pedestal type people that, oh, they had all kind of gifts and talents and no, they didn't. They weren't anybody. They were just regular old people like me and you, man, and God took them and did something with them because they had enough faith. They had enough faith to trust God. This is what happened. That's all it was. It says, it tells you, it said, stop the mouths of lions, obtain promises, wax valiant in fight, receive dead, raised to life again. They're dead, raised to life again, man. All because, man, they got their feet wet. They just would go ahead and step out on faith. And they've never gone that way before. That may be you. Maybe you're at a place you've never gone that way before. That's the way it is. It's something. There's always something in life that we've never gone. All our life, from the time you're a kid, look at your whole life. You went through school. First time you went to the next grade when you went, every year it went to a new class. You hadn't gone that way before, and a new class. And then you went to a new school. And then you got a driver's license, and you never done it. And then you got your first job. And maybe you've had different jobs. You had to go out. to a place you've never been before. That's just the way life goes. And it's the same way in the life of faith with God. There's things that we've never done before. And we can do them. Look around, folks. Look around this church, man. What are you going to do when the old gray hairs are gone? Who's going to step out? These young people, man, you younger folks. You need to step up. Say, hey, I can teach a Sunday school class. I can't really do it, but I'm just going to trust God to help me do it. I can do all the things. I can teach this, that, do the other thing, go out. I can be a witness. So many people are afraid to witness to other people. I don't know what to say. You know that we have a promise in the Bible that God would put the words in our mouth? Is God a liar? He ain't a liar. Huh? He'll put the words in our mouth to say when we go to witness to somebody about him. About him. It's amazing. And what happens, man? Then you see God working. I remember, I'll give you one little story. I'm almost done. I'll be getting ready to close. First got saved, man. The church that I went to, man, they was big on Thursday night visitation. You know, if there's a visitation, pastor would get on. We'd go out and visit houses. And, man, I thought, man, I don't know what to say. I'm just going along nervous as a cat, man. I mean, you got to go up. And, you know, there was like three of us, I think. And so I'd get behind them, you know, let them go up and knock on the door and answer the door. And then they'd knock on the door and you'd kind of back up and go, darn, man, what do I got on my shoe here? Hold on a minute. I'm trying to get, worried about it. And then we go in. I said, well, in my mind, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just here for moral support. I'll pray in my head for these people to talk to these other people. Didn't know them. This cold turkey knocking on the door. And the next thing you know, guess who's doing all the talking? You got it. And I remember talking to them, and in my mind thinking, where are all these words coming from that's coming out of my mouth? I thought, man alive, this is God doing this, because I couldn't even think. I was thinking of stuff faster than I could spit it out. That's God fulfilling the promise. He said, I'll put the words in your mouth to say. Amen. Huh? And man, I was telling it, man, talking. I was went out of there and thought, wow, man, I didn't think in the world. When I went in there, I thought, no, I ain't saying nothing. But see, I got to the river's edge and they said, let's go. I got saved. Let's go out on visitation. I said, all right, I'll step out there and I'll go on visitation, but I'm not going to say nothing. But I went ahead and took another step. See, and I just kept going in faith. And now look at me today. I'm afraid to talk. Huh? That's it. That's what it is. It's you gotta have a breakthrough, and this is what's needed in Christian lives today. Don't stop moving forward spiritually and just get in that rut where I'm satisfied. I'm afraid to go any farther. I'm afraid it paralyzes you. But it's also unbelief. It doesn't please God. God wants us to move and take the next step. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. And I pray for us, Lord. Help us to be believing enough and trusting enough. It's not really being afraid or being, it's just not really believing you, Lord, that you're going to do what you said you would do. Help us understand that. Help us all to trust you enough, believe you enough, love you enough to take a next step of faith in our life. And so we can be vessels that you can use, Lord, and help us get over the barricade. It's really only in our mind that you be able to use us, Lord, to be a witness for you, be a light in this world. There's so many lost people out there, and they don't know the truth because God's people are afraid to take the next step. And I pray we not be that. Lord, help us, Lord. So many people need to be saved. Lord, we know you can use us not because of any great characteristic or attribute that we have of ourselves, Lord, but because we empty ourselves and allow you to come into our life. And you, it's you, your life in ours. And help us understand that as well. Have your will and way in our invitation time, Lord. Help us if we're struggling with the breakthrough. Lord, we have one today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.